I'm Susie Larson. Thanks for listening to this podcast from Susie Larson Live.
It's only just a matter of
Welcome to Susie Larson Live. Always honored to have you. Yay, listen to this. We've got some people in the house. I love it. We have a live studio audience, and we are hoping to do more and more of these events. But we're here every day to bring you conversations that inspire you in your faith walk, that deepen your understanding of God's Word, and that heightens your awareness of His very real presence in your life. And we've got a powerful show for you today. If you listen often enough, you know we have our good friend Dr. Troy Sproul on the show every single month, and he's just one of our favorites. He's a dear friend, and we consider him a family member now. We're so appreciative. We haven't gotten any like Christmas presents or anything from him, but but so far, you know, I mean, there's always next year. But anyway, we're super excited. We've got just a load of questions to cover, but we also want to invite you in our listening audience to text in your questions. So I'm going to do my best to weave in those questions. We've got some questions from our audience today, and then I've got a whole list of questions that are kind of carryovers from previous shows. So we got plenty to do today, plenty of ground to cover. You can text your question to 877-933-2484, 877-933-2484. And for those of you in the live studio audience, you heard from our general manager, Neil, that we've got some amazing gifts to give away today. And I tell you that, friends who are listening on over the airwaves, to kind of wet your whistle, I hope you'll join us, even if you have to drive into town to do it, because Synapse Center for Health and Healing is offering some amazing gifts, high-value gifts. And Faith Radio, we've got some fun things to give away as well. We'll do that after the live show is over. Some of the things we're going to cover today, one that I think you're going to find super interesting is biological age. Did you know that the age of your cells can differ from the age, your actual birth date age? It can. And can you reverse your biological age? We'll talk about that. Is there a feeding window? Now, that makes us sound like animals, and I don't mean to do that, but is there a window of time in which we should eat for just optimal health? It's a little different than intermittent fasting, but is there a window of time or not? Does it matter if we eat within a certain time frame? Then again, we've got a number of other questions. What are a few other ones here? Oh, changing up your workout. Is it true that changing up your workout can have unbelievable benefits and you'll notice incredible changes? The answer to all these questions so far is yeah. All right. Is it true that extreme cardio is not all that it's cracked up to be? Is it true that deep breathing is actually essential for good health? And is it true that there's not a one-size-fits-all approach to health? I think we all know that that's really true. And yet, you'll be surprised to know that healthy foods like spinach, kale, kombucha, they're not for everybody. They're for some, but not for others. Why is that? We'll talk about that as well. And then we've got questions that have come in about parasites, about sugar addiction, and others. Don't wait. Send them in now. We'd love to hear from you. All right. 877-933-2484. Just a quick caveat. I say this every month that Dr. Troy's on. He is not here for obvious reasons to diagnose you. And so this is really to help us take steps forward towards health and the healing process. But we really do encourage you and ask you to consult with your doctor before making any changes to your diet. And people will often ask, what are the best supplements to take for this issue? Again, we're talking in general. I used to take supplements just, you know, that sounds good, that sounds good. And that's actually a dangerous thing to do. You really want a solid blood panel to find out where you're lacking and take the best that's suited for you and your situation. So that's why one of the many reasons we have Dr. Troy on. So not enough said. You want to hear from him more than you want to hear from me. Let me give him a proper introduction.
Is there a reason why I'm here?
Yeah, that's a good question. I'm not a doctor, but I play one on radio. So you can direct your questions towards me as well. I might have I won't. Anyway, I was going to say I might have a more interesting answer, but I promise you I won't. Let me tell you about the doc. Dr. Troy Sproul is founder and CEO of Synapse Center for Health and Healing, located in Eagan, Minnesota. He started Synapse over 26 years ago with a vision to bring an integrative approach to health care through functional medicine, making Synapse an internationally known center for true health. And it's just true. So honored to have you. Sorry I made you wait so long.
No, it's okay. You're doing a great job.
You feel bad for saying that now, don't you?
Yes.
No, you don't. You're not a shame bucket. I would feel bad, but you're good.
No, I'm pretty good.
Yeah.
Yes.
So you know this. We love to start every day talking scripture, and I'm wondering what passage you've been pondering these days.
Well, one of my patients brought in this the other day, and it fits. It's towards the end of 2021, And so I'm going to read from Proverbs, but I also want to just go through one of the Psalms of David. I'm not going to sing or anything like mm-hmm. that, but I just want to go through that just because of how relevant it is. Proverbs 21:21, whoever pursues righteousness and love finds life, prosperity, and honor. And then from the Psalm of David, may the Lord answer you when you're in distress. May the name of the God of Jacob protect you. May he send you help from the sanctuary and grant you support from Zion. May he remember all your sacrifices and accept your burnt offerings. May he give you desire of your heart and make all your plans succeed. May he shout for joy over your victory and lift up the banners in the name of our God. May the Lord grant all your requests. Now this I know, the Lord gives victory to his anointed. He answers him from his heavenly sanctuary with the victorious power of his right hand. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we trust in the name of Lord our God. They are brought to their knees and fall, but we rise up and stand firm. Lord, give victory to the King. Answer us when we call.
Wonderful. Love that so much.
Yes.
The Word of God, there's just nothing like it. So how about that? Why did you choose those passages?
Because it's relevant to what we're living right now.
Mm-hmm.
It's something where when things are all over the place, you have to stick with what you foundationally know. And that's true for our health and our well-being, and it's true for our walk with Christ, and it's true just when it comes to when we're uncertain, scared, or have fear around us. It's important that we lean in and we focus on God, and we ask God for clarity. We ask God for help. We look to God. So regardless of what you're going through with your battle, with your health, with life in general, looking towards God is something that's just going to serve you and the people around you.
So good. I don't know who said it first, but somebody said, don't make permanent decisions in a temporary trial. And one of the things I so appreciate about you, that I've known you for so many years, is that you're not reactionary. You're not going to say to make a reactionary choice, even if things are getting stirred up. You kind of keep your eye on the prize to say, okay, let's go on with what we know and let's stay the course. And I think that's super important.
Yeah, all feedback is really just it's a neutral event, really. It's at least when you're in the mode of problem solving. So when someone comes in and they're talking about their life and their health, and generally speaking, people don't come to the clinic and say, I'm great.
Yeah, how are you?
Things are going well. How's your day going? They come in with problems and challenges. Mm-hmm. So I have to listen to the challenges and not attach an emotion to it right away and not attach anything to it, really. It's just a neutral event until I get more and more and more of the puzzle put together. And so I jokingly tell some people they're a 1,000-piece puzzle and a 10,000-piece puzzle. If you're a 50,000-piece puzzle in our clinic, then that's a big puzzle. There's a mm-hmm. lot of pieces to that puzzle. Mm-hmm. So if I've said that to you, you now know what mm-hmm. Level of challenge you mm-hmm. are.
But he says it in love, so you don't feel
absolutely.
Bad about it. Yeah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, absolutely. I love puzzles.
Yeah, there you go. Well, let's talk about the cellular age. I think it's so fascinating. I remember the first time I went in, there was a whole panel of tests, and you told me the age of my cells, and then I applied everything you'd said and worked really hard at it. When I came back, I was seeing you regularly, but I want to say it was probably a year later. The ages of my cells had gone backward. I'd gotten more youthful, so to speak. Explain that dynamic and why that matters.
Well, there's our true age and there's a biological age. A biological age is basically how old are your cells behaving. And so there's a lot of different factors out there, different ways of measuring it. And you can get blood work done and use a bioimpedance analysis like we do. There's actual labs that'll check your lengths of your tips of your DNA, and they'll tell you that you've aged this much. Really, we're talking about the function of your cells. And so I'm going to explain it this way. The simple version of this is, as we start out life, we're more like a grape. As we go through life, we slowly turn into a raisin. So we measure how much are you like a raisin versus a grape.
But he's saying this in love, just so
everything,
you know.
Everything's in love, always. Yes. As we age, we lose the ability to have minerals go inside our cells, so the water doesn't follow. So it's our inability to hold water in the correct places that actually causes us to age. With a lack of water inside the cell, then all of a sudden the mechanisms of that cell don't perform as well. So we start to see the consequences of aging. So really, our goal is to have people become and stay more like a grape. So we have different things that can influence that. Stress, mental stress, chemical stress, and physical stress is the short way of saying it. But once you identify those stressors, we measure the water going inside the cells from the outside, and we can tell and see people's age go down. So they're improving their biological age. With that usually comes an improved function of some sort. So you regain some memory, you regain some energy, you regain some joy. Whatever it is, depending on what part of the body is being affected, we start to see improvements in that. This is just a clinical way of measuring it.
And your systems start to appreciate it and work better. I mean, I think you start to really see the differentiation when you go back to reunions at age 30, 40, 50. You start to see a pretty significant distinction between maybe those who look like they are twice their age and others who look like they're half their age.
Yeah, you can take anyone, and if you give them a stressful lifestyle, which means that possibly an abusive situation, lack of sleep, and things that
low
age
hydration.
Us. Low hydration, mm-hmm. Alcohol, smoking, different things that age us. Those things, wear that. People can see. And so as you start to do the opposite, you can actually see people age past you. And I've had people come in their 50s, 60s, and we work with them, and we see they kind of slow down that process of aging, and then they start to see some reversals when things start to communicate better. And then all of a sudden, they notice that their friends are aging past them, where they've actually seen a difference with themselves, and then they start to feel younger, act younger, all those things. And we have a saying at the clinic, don't let age be your cage. And it's because that doesn't define where you are right now with your health. If you're in a poor health state, that doesn't mean you have to stay there. And biological age means that there's a lot you can do to change that. There's some identification and some things to work on always, but you can actually slow down and even reverse that aging process. And people will be surprised. We have 17-year-olds coming in with cells that behave like that of a 65-year-old. That means they've aged their cells that much.
And why? Because of probably in that situation, trashy diet?
The best example is type 2 diabetes, where it's not an autoimmune diabetes, but type 2 diabetes, where we now have, let me say it this way. When I was first in school, which was a long time ago, we were taught that type 2 diabetes was something that people in their 50s to 70s got. And it was mostly diet and lifestyle related. Then, with each decade of practicing, it went down and down and down. Now we have an 8-year-old or 8-year-olds getting type 2 diabetes.
Wow.
That means they aged their pancreas to that of a 50 or 70-year-old in 8 years. That's a lot of sugar consumption by the parents and by that child.
Wow.
And poor diet and lifestyle choices.
You know, we're going to pause here in just a moment, and I know this story you told me was around inflammation, which I still think it connects with cellular health, right? Where he gave me two scenarios we talked about, you know, somebody 30s and 40s maybe, and they're drinking the big gulp every morning and eating, you know, junk, you know, getting all their food kind of from the local convenience one-stop shop, get your gas, get your big gulp and all that. And then you talked about, I think they were in their 70s, but they've been working on their health and their cellular health. And the young guy was in barely rear-ended, just bumped, and he had a massive inflammatory response. The older couple, who were in a pretty significant wreck, walked away unscathed because they brought the inflammation down to such a degree that their bodies could, and that's the thing, it's that we keep trying to talk about too, is the more we can really steward our health when it's not a crisis, the better we'll weather when the crisis comes.
Yeah, absolutely. How you enter into crisis, the state of the health before you get into the crisis will ultimately have an impact on how well you manage and handle that crisis mentally and physically.
Wow. When we come back, we'll talk a little bit more about that. We also got a number of audience questions because I don't know if you heard, but we have a live studio audience. Aren't they amazing? So when we come back, there's a question about how common are parasites. We'll talk about the feeding window. And if we need to even talk about a little bit more about what to do to you know, improve our cellular health, that might be a good conversation as well. Dr. Troy Spurl is my guest today. Got this amazing live studio audience, and we're so glad to have you listening as well. I saw a number of texts come in. We'll try to tackle those as well. If you want to get your question in, you can text it to 877-933-2484. We'll be back in a minute.
We are
made in the image of, made in the image of God. Beautiful shades of love.
Thanks so much for tuning in to Suzy Larson Live. Here we are with an amazing, beautiful live studio audience today. Oh, it's so awesome to be together. I can't even tell you. I'm hoping we can do this more often. Dr. Troy Spurl is my guest. He joins us once a month to talk about health and the healing process. And we're both incredibly passionate about this topic because every step towards healing matters. And we've got so many questions. We're going to get to as many as we can. And one of the questions that came in from our live audience is this: how common are parasites in our intestines? There seems to be a lot of people doing coffee enemas to rid themselves of these nasty buggers. And I will just tell you, coffee enemas are the rage. From what I hear, people are talking a lot about them. Those who are doing them all want to have a party so they can all talk about their experience.
Ooh,
the rest of us,
I mean, I don't know about coffee enema parties.
I know. I don't either. I'm just saying that's what they're saying.
Yes.
I mean, I have friends. So anyway, what do you say?
I don't know what to say to that. No, parasites are very, very common. They're hard to measure. They're hard to pick up as far as in lab testing. So there are some PCR-type tests, and there are some stool analysis that can get some hits on them. But they're very, very, very common. So by their pure definition of being parasitic, and which is an invasive scenario, there's a lot that we don't know as far as how much of an impact they have. So they're very, very common. Some of them don't have any effect on us at all. Some of them may have an effect for 24 hours. Some of them may be very, very impactful, like Montezuma's Revenge, when you're traveling and you drink the water and you've got some protozoa in there. There's generally two types of parasites, the protozoa and the worms. And so the worms are easier to see because they're much bigger. And there are things that you can do mitigate parasites. And so they're very common. You can be eating perfectly healthy and get a parasite because it can be on almost all food. And so I do recommend that people do parasite cleanses just to stay on top of it. If you're traveling, I treat a lot of people who do mission work. So strangely enough, we get questions from all over the place. Mm-hmm. And one of my more challenging questions was recently, a missionary going to Ghana, and they're having trouble getting some of the nutrients that we use here in the United States in Ghana to treat some blood sugar disorders, but they had stuff there for parasites. So I jokingly said, I'll trade you some parasites stuff for the support that we're doing over here. So worldwide, they're very, very common. They're not necessarily bad, so I want to say that. So I will say this: there is some fascinating research on Alzheimer's in Africa where you are not to remove the parasites. The parasites actually help engage a genetic response to reduce the Alzheimer's in that population. In the United States, it's the exact opposite. So you also have to take into consideration the environment you're in. So generally speaking, they're very, very common. If you travel, it's more likely if you get a parasite from where you're not from, it'll affect you negatively.
Hmm.
If you get a parasite from where you're from, you might be okay with it. In fact, it might actually be beneficial. It may actually induce an immune response that helps with other factors in the body.
Do people who have parasites always have gut issues, or could you be walking around feeling okay and have a little friend hang around and
you never know it? Yeah, you could, it's rarely gut issues.
Hmm.
So sometimes it's gut issues, a lot of times it's head stuff. So it can be depression, it can be foggy brain, it can be headaches, it can be back pain. The more obvious ones are the intestinals. But that is only 30% of the cases when we look at the broad spectrum of things. Now, it's the most obvious one, so that's what people go in for, but it's really much more than just the intestinal part of it.
Aren't there Lyme disease co-infections that are parasitic?
Yes. Dr. Josh, who's here from the clinic, is smiling in the back as he does our research on that. And I just saw him light up when you asked that question.
He's so, like, pick me.
Yes, I want that one. Because in my office...
Ask him about it.
Yeah, Dr. Natalie will confirm that she's back there as well. But in my office, if that question came up in our round table, I'd say, Dr. Josh, your thoughts?
By the way, there are two very brilliant doctors back there, Natalie and Josh. So do introduce yourself and talk with them. You'll love them. So
yeah, absolutely. Parasitic co-infections. And the best way to say it is when you have something like Lyme, you are more prone to opportunistic infections. So there's a lot of different... it's not... It's not much fun because the part of your immune system that helps recognize what's foreign to you gets confused a little bit. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so now I want to talk about coffee enemas because you're the guy with the poop chart in your wallet.
Yes.
So don't act like this is all new information. I mean, this is why he's so giddy to see people in person because finally you get to see the thing he carries around anyway.
Yeah.
So, but the idea is the people, like when I'm at conferences, people, because I'm so transparent about some of my struggles, people feel very open to talk to me about their bathroom situation with the whole enema thing. And they're all like, won't you try it? You know, so, and it's... I don't want to say it has a cult following, but people are like giddy about it. So what up with that?
I just want to say, we get pictures, a lot of pictures. And so,
don't do that for me. I'm good.
Yeah, we All don't. Right. I'm just going to say this comment publicly. We don't need the pictures.
So
coffee enemas are actually very important for a couple different reasons. It's not just the cleansing of the distal colon, but the caffeine. There's caffeine receptors at the distal part of the colon. And so they will stimulate a part of the colon that will send a reflex to your liver. So the real benefit is coming from the liver dumping its bile. And so that's what that's a mechanism that we see that helps with detoxification. So that's why we get, there's a cleansing of the bile, but there's also a hepatic cleansing where it pulls the bile. And that's where we see a lot of people have symptoms. When your liver gets congested or the bile duct is congested, it's instant bloating, it can be nausea, it can be head pressure, it can back up the lymph system, which causes all kinds of different scenarios. And so that's why people notice tremendous impact from that. And it's also why just having regular bowel movements that are solid, I'm going to say, is important because you can stimulate that same reflex and it helps the purging mechanism. It's really a brilliant design. I mean, God really knew what he was talking about when he came up with our elimination process. So we have the elimination component, not to get too graphic here for my visualizing people, but as you eliminate, it's stimulating the liver to dump the bile into the intestinal tract to help with further elimination, to pull from the lymph system, which helps us fight infection, get rid of infection, fight toxicity. So it's a mechanism that triggers another mechanism to help with our ability to fight infection and detox. It's brilliant.
Yeah, wow. You know, we're going to break here in just a moment, but I would imagine it's super important to have organic coffee. There, mold can be found in coffee, and I would imagine that you want to have a pure
Yeah, lots
form.
Of toxic chemicals, too, so organic is really important, especially with coffee.
Yeah, very good. Suzy Larson Live, Dr. Troy is my guest today. We've got an amazing live studio audience, and we will be back with more questions. Woo! Love that song. Thanks for tuning in to Suzy Larson Live. We are here with a live studio audience. Wow, it is so fun. And our team behind the scenes at Faith Radio with Carissa Rogers, and she's leading so many people. We've got treats. We've got giveaways. I'm hoping and praying we can do more of these in the future. My guest today is Dr. Troy Sproul. We're talking about health and the healing process. He's the founder, CEO of Synapse Center for Health and Healing. We've got listeners from all around the world. So if you're wondering where Synapse is located, it's Eagan, Minnesota. You could search. I think it's officialsynapse.com. Is that right?
Yes, officialsynapse.com.
You had to think about it for a minute. All righty. So are we done talking coffee enemas? You're good?
I'm good.
Okay, good. All righty. So here's another question about the idea of, I don't know, I mean, a feeding window sounds so funny, but I don't know how else to say it. You know, there's intermittent fasting. Maybe you can kind of explain that and the benefits and how it's not for everybody. You and I've talked about that before. But the idea of kind of having a window of time in which you eat so that you stop and start at the same time, is that a thing, and are there benefits? What do you say?
Yeah, so there's a lot to unwrap there. And the first thing I'm going to say is it's important to just pay attention to your body and make decisions based on what you're observing and the awareness that you have. Now, having said that, sometimes you go through some detox reactions or you go through some changes that are rough, but your eating habits should be something that doesn't induce a negative consequence repeatedly. So let me talk this, because 25% of the population has what's called a COMT genetic defect. They should not intermittent fast. Mm. They need to eat more consistently. So people who are prone to hypoglycemia or low blood sugar need to eat more consistently, and intermittent fasting doesn't work as well for them. There are people that overeat. Did you know that was a thing?
I did not.
It's a thing.
I guess I did. I'm sorry.
Yes.
I can't lie.
Yeah, she can't.
I feel really bad. Anyway.
So with overeating, it burdens our digestive system, but also our detoxification system. So it's one of those things where our liver, again, which helps with detox and digestion, does really well with just fasting. And so it's important to know that as we fast, we actually start a cleansing process. It gives our organs a break. Our digestive organs need a break. A lot of them are inflamed, and so that's why fasting can be good. Intermittent fasting is one of those processes where they get a temporary break. So if you intermittent fast and then you kind of gorge, not a good thing. So if it's disciplined intermittent fasting where you eat between a window of like 11 to 7, 11 a.m. to 7 p.m., that's a good window for most people with intermittent fasting. And then it's good to change that up every once in a while so that you can see how your body is doing and dealing with food. Food is meant to nourish our cells to give us energy. That's the main purpose for food. And when we eat for pleasure, that's one thing. We happen to live in an age where we actually are blessed to have so many different varieties of food. And so we can eat from any culture we want here in the United States almost. And that's just amazing. 1,000, 2,000 years ago, you ate what was grown locally to you or what you could trade. It was much, much different. So we're blessed to have an abundance. So intermittent fasting and fasting are becoming more and more important because of that abundance. And it's very important to just give our cells and our body a break. Also, different things affect our ability to digest, like hormones, stress hormones in particular. And so it can become very hard on our system when we are under a lot of stress and then eating. The last thing you want to do is have stress and eat at the same time.
Wow. And so, yet so many people stress eat, right?
It's what we do, is mm-hmm. stress eat. And when we're stressed, what do we crave?
Carbs,
salt,
sugar.
And sugar. Yeah, salt mm-hmm. and sugar. So those chips and the sugar. Mm-hmm. So
more ideal would be go out for a walk or a run. That reminds me, another question came in about cold shower therapy. And, you know, no, it's a thing. So,
it is.
And I actually read up on it a little bit, and yeah. I thought it was fascinating. So people who deal with anxiety, to get under a really cold shower actually can stimulate the vagus nerve, and right? And
yeah, you, right? It works.
You go to bed, you'd think it would wake you up, but it calms you down.
Yes.
And
yeah.
Living in the Midwest, if you can get out for a cool walk, you might actually sleep better than you normally do.
And in Sweden, look up the videos on this one. In Sweden, they will go from hot tubs to jumping in the snow. And when I grew up in Canada, we would go skiing annually in the mountains there, and that's what we would do. And we'd get all hot in the sauna or the tub after skiing, and then go jump in the snow. And it's one of the best things you can do to reset your limbic system and to help with your autonomic nervous system, which is very important for managing your fight or flight response and your rest and digest response. Mm-hmm. So it'll improve your sleep, your digestion, and manage your stress response. Mm-hmm.
So if you feel like stress eating, I know nachos sounds good and all that, but what if you just threw yourself into a cold shower? You might get angry, but
yeah.
You'll feel better.
Yeah, and don't get confused and panic and bring the nachos into
That's
the cold
right,
shower.
Yeah. And then you'll really be crabby. Okay, so one of the questions that came in beforehand was, what has been most helpful for me battling Lyme disease? So I'll share some of the things that I've done, and I would love for you to just maybe explain why these things worked. And I, again, we always say there's not a one-size-fits-all. Right. And so most of you know my story, but for those of you who don't, during our third pregnancy over 30 years ago, I was unknowingly bit by the deer tick, went a year undiagnosed, and had neurological symptoms that they thought were MS or brain tumor, turned out to be Lyme, and it's just been a chronic battle. And I've come so far, but I've had flares that are not good, and, you know, I always say I'm a fighter, except for when I'm crying. So anyway, I do cry sometimes. So these are some of the things that helped me. And again, forgive me for some of you, you've heard this before, but it was, you know, I don't know, 25 years ago. And my guys were young, and I was begging God to heal me, if not for me, for them, that, you know, they're, my boys need a mama. And I remember the Lord broke through with such clarity and said, I could heal you today, but you'd lose it tomorrow. And I'm like, why? And he said, because you don't have the infrastructure for healing. You think like a sick person. And that was just true, because with Lyme, there's the symptoms are so all over the map. And back then, they really didn't know what they were doing and dealing with it. So I'm not a hypochondriac, but it made me feel like one, because the pain would move all over my body, the numbing of my face, then my left arm. And I thought I was going crazy. And I realized I was following the rabbit trail of symptoms. But all of a sudden, I did kind of what we were talking about at the beginning. I found my foundation again. And I, you know, working in fitness for as many years, I have some knowledge of anatomy. I would go through my anatomy and thank God that I have bones that are strong and muscles that work. And to this day, I still do that. I just thank God for all that's right and good in my health and all that's right and good in my life. About 15 years ago, my hubby got me an infrared sauna to manage pain, because I have a lot of pain in the winter. I did not know till I met Dr. Troy how detoxifying that is as well, and that's been a big, huge thing. You know, again, my walk with the Lord and my just my Jesus is really why I'm still standing 100%. And the wisdom I feel like I've gotten from him and how God has used you, Troy, has been so significant. Exercise is a huge thing for me. I have to work out. I work out 5-6 times a week. And I've made some adjustments, and we'll talk about that, just that I used to do a lot of extreme cardio, and that proved not to be the best thing. So I've changed up, and it's been fantastic for me. Learning through Dr. Troy what supplements I need. I mean, I used to just buy stuff off the counter going, I need that. That sounds good, you know. But once I'd got a blood panel and realized where I was really lacking and being very strategic about that, kind of plugging the holes, as you've said, that's been a huge thing. And I just, you know, I'm partial. I really have to say God has used Dr. Troy in my life more than any other doctor to get me on my feet, and I'm so, so grateful. But it is a fight, and you know, and the sleep thing has been super hard battle for me, and I think I'm finding my secret sauce, and I'm super grateful. But because I'm pretty disciplined in all these other areas of life, when I sleep, I take these giant leaps forward, you know. And I told my friend back there, I think I'm going to run for office, because I've slept 5 nights in a row. I'm like, I got something here, but I'm not going to. I'm just telling you. But all that to say, you know, it wasn't one answer. It was multiple things, because I had, you know, multiple issues to address. So.
Yeah, and we found with many of our Lyme patients, it's a dance, and that person's body's in the lead, not us. Mm. So we've got to follow that dance. And sometimes it's a nice, elegant dance. Most of the times it's a slam dance all over the place where you got to try and keep up. And there's so many different things that work for different people. And I know this is what drives myself and our team nuts when it comes to Lyme, is just how one person can respond so well to something and it's not duplicatable in the next person. But a couple things you said there that I'm just going to touch on, because what we have found, what I have found in particular with some of my patients that have made good progress, is are things that have ultimately had a net impact on their limbic system. The limbic system manages your stress response, your hormones, and your autonomic nervous system. And there's that autonomic nervous system again. And not only is the infrared sauna detoxifying, but also the heat of the sauna. Mm. The hypothalamus regulates your body temperature. And so when you get hot or cold, that can affect you negatively. Hot or cold in excess for an extended period of time, that can affect you negatively. So temperature actually helps to regulate that area of the brain. Now, remember the three things that go with that area of the brain: hormones and emotion or stress response. So as you regulate your body's temperature or have that as one of the therapies, it's going to influence your ability to handle other stressors emotionally. It's going to influence your ability to manage your hormones, even if it's just a little bit. So there's all these little different paths that we can take to help this particular area of the brain. And that's what we have found, is that many people with Lyme have to do almost a limbic retraining, or a retraining of this area of the brain as far as how it regulates your body again. And there's just multiple different pathways as far as how you go about making that change.
Mm-hmm. Very good. This dear listener said, I have been using melatonin and Benadryl to help me sleep, but my doctor suggested I not use Benadryl. What say you?
Well, for me, I listen to that, and I think of a couple different things. Number one, I want to make sure the sleep is actually good restorative quality sleep. So the first thing I do is try and get assessment of, okay, is it good sleep or is it that artificial sleep? Because sometimes medications can cause artificial sleep where we think we're sleeping deeply, but we're not getting into REM or into deep sleep.
And you don't feel rested in the morning.
You don't feel rested in the morning. And this is generally how you can tell. If you wake up and you don't feel rested, then you're not getting into deep sleep consistently. If you wake up and you could take a nap a couple hours later, then you're not getting into deep sleep. If you can't sleep through the night, another weird one is people with chronic sleep disorders that might be sleeping through the night or think they are, will actually gain weight around their knees, their kneecaps. Isn't that a weird one?
So weird.
Yeah. Everyone in the studio is just looking at their knees.
I was
going
to say, no, I think you made that up. No, yes. That's seriously. Why is that?
We store fat in different areas of the body based on different hormone imbalances. There was some brilliant work done by a Canadian who looked at professional Olympic athletes and the military, and he just did caliper testing with fats, with fat and hormones. So he did thousands of lab tests with caliper testing, and people who have excess cortisol gain it on the front side. People who have thyroid disorders will have fat on a different part of their arm, and insulin issues back on their back. And so and estrogen dominance will be on the sides of the legs.
Oh, wow.
So fascinating research on where we store fat and the hormone imbalances that come with that. So,
wow. We're going to pause here. When we come back, we're going to talk about how there's not a one-size-fits-all approach to health and why certain healthy foods, even probiotics, are really essential for some, but maybe detrimental to others.
Absolutely.
Pretty interesting, don't you think? Is this interesting? You liking this? So fascinating. And we're all going to check our knees during the break. You can do that too, talking to Dr. Troy Spurl. And we will be back in a minute. That's just true. We are standing in miracles wherever we go because God is faithful and He's active and He's moving on the earth today. And we're so grateful that He loves us. He knows our name and He cares about our life. He cares about our health. He cares about our journey. I'm Susie Larson. This is Susie Larson Live. Dr. Troy Spurl is my guest. And we have a live studio audience today. We're having a great time. So glad to have you listening as well. And I just want a special thanks to the engineers, producers, everybody behind the scenes. It is no small thing to move the show down to the main floor of our radio station. We've got videos. We've got so much going on. These things don't just happen. So just I shout out to all of our producers, engineers. They're brilliant and amazing. So appreciative. So here's a question that came in. Any recommendations on minerals or vitamins for thinning hair? I'm not laughing at the question. I'm asking a bald man about hair. I'm just saying. Anyway.
I have no answers for that. You know, we believe at Synapse that there is an answer to every problem except that one.
Oh, really?
Yes. No.
There are remedies. He's just choosing not to apply them.
I choose not to use them, yes.
Yeah, all right. What do you say?
There's a lot of factors. It depends if there's male or female. So with women, the most common cause of thinning hair is stress and thyroid dysfunction.
Wow.
With men, the most common cause of thinning hair is stress, testosterone, or lymphatic congestion.
Wow.
And there are some genetic components as well.
Very interesting.
Yeah, so when it comes to minerals, it really depends on what's going on, because if it's a thyroid issue, zinc and selenium are the two most important minerals for women for the hair. You'll read a lot about how biotin in particular, the B vitamin biotin, will help with hair, but the most common causes are usually a foundational scenario that can trigger some genetics. Mm. And so always look at the your mother's father to look at the genetic potential of what you have and then go from there. And so both of my grandparents were bald as bats. Wait, are bats bald? I don't know if bats are bald, but it sounded good in my head.
I think we got you, though.
Yes. Yeah. Okay.
All right. So when, you know, I thought you'd said this on a previous show, but I think it was a long time ago, but with thyroid issues, sometimes you'll get a standard blood panel on thyroid and it'll come back normal and you can still have a thyroid issue.
Yes,
so it could,
absolutely.
It could, if it's not showing up in the standard test, could you still have a thyroid issue that's enough to cause hair loss?
Yeah, absolutely. Because here's the difference. This is a little bit of a difference between functional medicine and traditional medicine. Traditional medicine is really looking to see, do you have a thyroid problem?
An active disease.
An active disease in the thyroid. And so that's what that testing is for. That testing is not to tell us, is there a thyroid condition that might be setting up hair loss? So when they do the standard lab testing, they just do TSH. If your TSH is high or low, and they might do a T4 with that, which is inactive thyroid, it's going to tell you, is there an active thyroid disease? And if there isn't, they say your thyroid's fine. But in life, it doesn't work like that. We can have things working at 100% efficiency, 90% efficiency, 50% efficiency. Mm-hmm. It's not black and white like that. There's a gradient there. And so when you want to look at thyroid health, how well is it performing? We actually order all 8 different markers for thyroid, TSH, T3, free T3, T4, free T4. We look at reverse T3. We look at thyroid antibodies, and it gives us more of a bigger picture of what's going on with the thyroid so that we can see, yes, you have plenty of T4, which is inactive thyroid, but you don't have enough T3, which is active thyroid. Well, there's only 2 things that get in the way of that conversion. That's a zinc or selenium deficiency. And then there's 8 factors that will convert that into a reverse T3, which is more stress and trauma. So by getting the full panel, we have an instant access into what might be going on into their life to let us know about the hair problem.
You know, and this next question is sort of a piggyback off of that, and we probably could spend the rest of the time on it, but I want to make sure we get to this one-size-fits-all question. And then there was one other one that's so precious that I want to make sure we get as well. But this question did come in early about what's the difference between traditional and functional medicine. And I have a dream, people. I have multiple dreams, but one of my dreams is that traditional docs and functional med docs could work together because there's a place for both and there's deep need for both. And in my layman's terms, you know, I'm going to say this, and then you can correct me, Doc, if you want, but as I understand it and as I've experienced it, and even my hubby has and other family members have, in traditional medicine, when you're taking a blood panel, you are looking for active disease, and then you treat the active disease. In functional med, you broaden that panel so you see deficits that you can address so that it doesn't become active disease. So it's a preventative approach, which I love, and I really do dream that these two can work together. Now, you can maybe speak to that, but also with the question that came in is, what's the difference? And if you want to make more of a distinction and maybe share your dream for healthcare. You did that about a year ago. It was fantastic.
Yeah, so number one does not replace the other. They're different. They're complementary, and that's very, very important. There shouldn't be a battle between the two systems. And I will say, early in my career...
you were heading in the MD direction.
That was my path, and mm-hmm. I decided it wasn't a fit based on... I'll be honest. I went to my professor and asked for the nutrition courses because at the time I was a Division I rugby player, quite an athlete. I know the live studio audience here doesn't believe that. But
the collective gasp.
Yes.
Just
what?
Pulled his toupee right off. No, I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. Sorry.
And so I asked him, I'd like to get into better shape for rugby, and I'd like to put on some mass. I was one of the smaller guys out there. I was the smallest guy out there. And so I said, I want to skip ahead to some of the health and nutrition classes and become more physically elite. And he said, these are exact words, if you want to get healthy, you have to get out of medicine. He says, we don't do that here. We treat disease. And so, that's when I found out I didn't have any classes on nutrition. There were none being offered because that wasn't part of the curriculum to learn how to become a doctor. And so that was, and my entire life since I was 4 years old, I told my mom, I'm going to be a medical doctor. I'm going to be a medical doctor. I'm going to be a medical doctor. So that shook me. And this is how much it shook me, and so don't judge me on this, but I still was in school, but I didn't know what I was going to do because it completely derailed my vision for what I had. So I bartended for a year.
That's an answer. I can see A to B. I don't know.
Yeah, A to B. No, it was at the restaurant I worked at, and I just did that. And I just spoke to people, and I just started asking them about life, and I just started getting information that way. And I learned a lot about the human dynamic doing that. And so I learned a little bit and then found a fit when I went through, and I ended up getting a couple extra degrees, and chiropractic was one of them. It was a better fit than medical school, and then a degree in kinesiology and applied functional neurology, and then functional medicine eventually came along. My first year of school is when I was introduced to functional medicine when it was brand new. So I got to learn from the doctor who created functional medicine. Mm-hmm. And so it was a better fit because in functional medicine, you're looking to measure dysfunction. And the premise is if everything is communicating properly, then you're at your best. So when there's a breakdown in communication, that's when we see dysfunction. And then dysfunction eventually leads to disease. So I wanted to get ahead of the disease process and measure dysfunction and do stuff, see if there's anything that can be done about it. Well, it turns out there's a lot that can be done about it. And so that was the path I went on, and was able to gather a lot of good information on how to be proactive with your health and get ahead of it, so to speak.
Mm. I appreciate that so much because we honor our MDs and we honor our functional med. And
absolutely.
Again, because of the trauma that we've been through with this pandemic, I do have a dream and I have a belief that there's one day that these two worlds will come together for the sake of the patient, right?
Absolutely, and it is changing. I will say this, 20 years ago, it was 18 years ago, I was on the news, local news station, for helping it was the Fox 9 Mystery Illness Patient of the Month. And it was kind of my first feather in my cap as a professional, and I was completely taken aback and caught off guard by what happened with that. The short version of it, and to be very graceful, the short version was they interviewed me for 20 minutes. The day of the airing, they called me and said that it made the Mayo Clinic look bad, so they didn't want to air. They didn't want to air it the way it was aired. And I thought I was going to be able to work with the Mayo Clinic and work with those doctors, and they did not like what I did at all. And it was a very negative experience. Now I get referrals from the Mayo Clinic, and I refer to them. And I have multiple relationships with local traditional doctors that are wonderful. And there's a huge need for them and what they do. And when they can, the problem is they assumed something about what I did because of something they had heard or how they had been informed. They just didn't know what it is that we did.
Well, I would imagine there's spinoffs. I mean, I've heard, and this is another question that has come in, we don't have time to answer today, but there are some who are in functional med who go into Eastern, mysticism and cult-like stuff that really defies, our Christian foundations, right?
Yes. Yeah.
And they may have even experienced somebody who's, spun off, and it is quackery, and they're calling it functional med. But you know what? The same thing happens in Christianity. There are some that spin off and are doing something that does not represent the heart of Christ, and people encounter that and go, all Christians are crazy. And so I'm just really praying that we can give each other some grace and learn from each other for the betterment of the health of the world, because we have resources and access to so much. And then as a nation, we're sicker than ever. But this is one of the reasons we do this show, is because individually people are gaining ground, people are learning to take care of their health, and we have great hope because we're seeing, we're making great strides.
Yes, I want to say one other thing too. As a Christian, it's very important because why I started with the psalm that I did about standing up. As Christians, we need to reclaim what's been stolen from us. And part of that is working in these areas that we've dismissed as alternative healing things when they're not. It's how God made us.
Yeah.
And it's been perverted, and we're having more and more Christians starting to come in there. We need more of that.
We did. Hope you found some encouragement here today. We're going to continue on with some Q&A after the live show. God bless you, and we'll meet you back here next time. Thanks for listening to this conversation from Suzy Larson Live. These podcasts are available because of listener support. You can become a supporter now at myfaithradio.com. And thanks for sharing this audio link to spread the good news of the gospel and to grow the impact of the show. Also, if you would, take a moment to subscribe to the podcast today at Apple Podcasts or your favorite podcast player, and never miss a show.